Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Monday Night Raw, a.k.a. The Learning Center, here with your Sunday Morning Breakfast family. Tonight, we get to wrap up our topic on destroying disobedience. So hopefully you all have been able to interact with us all week and really enjoy in the word that we've had for this week. And tonight, I want to remind you, questions, comments, feedback, testimony, whatever it is that God places on your heart to share, please, when we open the line, do so. But without further ado, let's go ahead and bring in our leader, Mr. Tellius Carr. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Ms. Tandy.
And how are you on this fine Monday?
Doing wonderful. What about yourself?
Good deal.
So as Ms. Candy just introduced, tonight.
Mr. Carr?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now. We were getting feedback before, but now you're good.
Okay, good deal. Well, tonight, as Ms. Candy just stated, this is our Monday Night Raw. Okay, we have some emails, we have some questions that we throw out, and frankly, we have some testimonials as well. So anything that may have caught your attention, and if it's your first night, please chime in. You may have questions, you may have comments, you may even have some concerns. So this is the deal with SMB Monday Night Raw. Y'all, it's not so much about SMB, it's more about God. Listen to me. It's very important. The Bible says, "In all thy getting, get an understanding." It is extremely important that we, if we don't understand something, that we ask so that we can get clarity. Let me say that again. It's extremely important that we ask if we do not know. Do not lean unto your own understanding. But Mr. Carr, who said that your understanding was correct? And you're absolutely correct. This is why I hang it on the doorstep of heaven. The thing is, how you know if the answer is correct? Would it be beneficial to God, or would it be beneficial to you and your flesh?
All right.
This is how you know. Typically, the answers of God that God approves makes our flesh cringe. You know, like pray for your enemies. Pray for those who despitefully use you. You know, like if somebody hurts you, turn the other cheek. See, those answers don't feel good to the flesh, but it's something that God stamped and approved.
Yes, sir.
All right. So with that being said, don't be afraid to ask a question. Don't be afraid to even share what you may think so we can actually get to the solution of everything, if that's fair. Okay? Because a lot of times what we tend to do is we don't want the answer because we kind of like to, sort of like to keep on moving about life our own direction. Now, if that direction is pleasing to God, you continue to do so. If it's not, I think we need to adjust some things. Wouldn't you agree?
Good. Yes, sir.
All right. With that being said, Ms. Candy, do you mind opening us up with prayer, please?
All right. Father God, we thank you for bringing us together once more, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for everyone who is assembled here tonight, Lord, and we thank you in advance for the word that you are going to provide for us tonight, Lord. Lord, we pray right now over every speaker on the call tonight, Lord, that you allow the words that go forth to be words directly from you, Lord. Allow each and every one of us to hear from you in our own language, Lord, in our own tongue. Lord, speak directly to us. Allow us to be able to clearly understand what it is that you're saying for us, Lord. We pray right now that everyone on the line has a spirit of boldness and is willing and able to speak up in the way that you have urged them to do so. In Jesus' name, we place all of this before you. Amen.
Amen. All right, y'all. Destroying disobedience has been the topic for the week, and that's the topic that we're going to close out tonight, destroying disobedience. Okay, I have Mr. DJ with me this evening. I'm not sure, is Ms. Tiana there, Ms. Candy?
No, sir.
Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to invite somebody else on with Mr. DJ. And I think I want to go straight directly to Ms. Artita. Okay, so we'll get Ms. Artita on in a minute. But Mr. DJ, how are you this evening?
Wonderful, wonderful. And yourself?
Doing wonderful. So, Mr. DJ, you know how we do it. Tell us what you gathered from this past week on this topic, destroying disobedience.
This topic basically put up a mirror to all of us. Destroying disobedience begins with self, because we're first of all talking about disobedience to God. So don't think we're talking about disobedient people. We're talking about disobedience to God. Lots of things that we do, first of all, it's on your free will and choice. God does not force you to worship him. He does not force you to do right. So you need to check yourself. And oftentimes we say, yeah, I know God, but, and that's what gets us in trouble, that but. You know, I know this is the right thing to do, but, you know, so we need to destroy the disobedience, and that will often let God handle the situation the way it's supposed to, and you'll see a better outcome. But oftentimes we try to do things our way, and then we end up in a worse situation than before, when if you simply was obedient, you wouldn't be in that situation in the first place. You know, and the same thing goes with not just your daily blessings, but stuff like revenge and everything we do. You have to have some kind of discipline, you know, and you have to control yourself. You know, oftentimes we say the devil made me do it. No, he didn't. No, he did not. You did that yourself. You know, and I never heard so many Christians say the devil made me do it or the devil got into them. You know, that kind of thing. We're supposed to be able to govern that. You know, so I'm just very, very pleased with the topic. And like I said, you know, destroying disobedience, remember, it begins with us.
Yeah, that's powerful what Mr. DJ just said. Okay. The destruction of sin, the destruction of disobeying God begins with us. I mean, Scripture backs it up. It validates that, you know, before we follow Christ, we must first, you know, deny ourselves. We must deny ourselves. We must destroy ourselves. In other words, in order to fall in love with God, we got to hate ourselves. The problem is, Mr. DJ, the world has told us to love ourselves. As a matter of fact, we think that it's okay to love ourselves. I know a lot of people may be scratching their heads and be like, see, that I disagree with. So tell me, what part of loving you and loving God coincides to make us walk an obedient life? I mean, live an obedient life.
To walk in an obedient life, the God in me is the God in you.
Uh-huh.
That's the only part of that. When it comes to the flesh and just us individually, oh, no, you have to deny yourself. Because if you're pleasing yourself, you don't leave room to please God. If you're the governor, if you're the one in charge, you know, if you're doing things that are pleasing you, then it's a slap in the face to God.
Yeah. Y'all hear that? And that's what it is. You know, and this is stuff that, you know, Mr. DJ, these be these hard-pressed topics. You know, we don't have to be holier than thou. Can y'all calm down for a second? Nobody ain't nervous on this phone. I know Mr. DJ not nervous. Y'all nervous? Good. Calm down so we can have one-on-one natural talk. Because, see, when you get calm person, now you don't just get reactionary people. Let's really peek into our brains. Let's really peek into our hearts. Let's really peek into our thought patterns about this destruction and about disobedience. Okay, because ultimately, it literally, it starts with us. Everything starts with us. Now, I just made a statement. The reason why I said calm down, I said that we got to fall out of love with ourselves. We got to literally hate ourselves in order to love God. Would y'all agree with that or disagree?
I agree.
Definitely agree. Starts with us and ends with him.
Yeah. I think that's, you know, okay. Can somebody out there, can somebody read Luke 14 and 26? Anybody? And then when you get it, Luke 14 and 26, press *5. You don't even have to say your name. Just start reading the scripture. Luke 14 and 26. And once you read that scripture, I want you to interpret that for me, okay?
Again, if you have the scripture, press *5. We will get you right on the line.
That's Luke 14 and 26, people.
We do not have a hand, sir, but I have it if you would like for me to read it.
No, ma'am, Ms. Candy. We're going to get participation tonight. Okay, and I'm not afraid to sit up here and wait because we love God. We'll wait. Patience is a virtue. So somebody going to step up, right? So Luke 14 and 26. I'm waiting on somebody to read it.
And we'll also help you interpret it. So don't let that scare you away.
Anybody got that Jeopardy music?
I do have a hand, sir.
Please, go ahead.
Go ahead, caller.
Okay, Luke 14 and 26 reads, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple."
Wow.
And
go ahead and go phrase for phrase, if you don't mind, and explain it to us.
Okay, if anyone comes to me, so what God is saying here is, if anyone is claiming to be his child, or in other words, to be his follower, and then it goes on to say, and does not hate father and mother. So that's typically biologically your mom, your dad, wife and children, so your spouse and your children that you have, brothers and sisters, so biologically brother and sister, and also brothers and sisters in Christ. So that would mean anyone, and it says yes, even their own life. So that means you, yourself, personally. And it goes on to say, such a person cannot be my disciple. So what God is saying is, we cannot be a follower of him if we do not deny ourselves, and if we put our father, our mother, our wife, our children, our brothers and sisters before him. He has to come first, first and foremost, because we were created by God. We were created for him and by him. So he has to be first. And like you always say, we have to deny ourselves, and that includes denying everyone else around us, is what that scripture is saying.
Let me let y'all listen to this. Hold on. Watch this. Y'all hear that?
Yes,
y'all heard it?
Uh-huh.
That watered down version. That ain't that's watered down. Oh, let me tell you. Read that scripture again. Let me break it down right quick, real quick. Read that scripture.
Okay, the scripture reads, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple."
All right, let me read an easy to read version. It says, "If you come to me but will not leave your family, you cannot be my follower. You must love me more than your father, more than your mother, more than your wife, more than your children and brothers and sisters, even more than your own life." Okay? Now, he used a strong word, and he says, "Hey." We're talking about destroying disobedience, right? Okay. Sometimes, y'all have heard it before, right? Don't ever tell nobody you hate them. Stop. True?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Well, God said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and hate mother and hate wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even hate their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple." You can't follow God. See, the reason why I ran the water, because it's watered down version. Put first, no, destroy. Uh-oh, there's a difference. I need y'all to hear me. Hear me, hear me, hear me. See, here's the problem why we got blues, bays, side pieces, and all this. Because, see, we, Lord, let me back up for a second. We play the same thing. Do y'all, does anybody on this phone not believe that what you do naturally is a result of how you are spiritually? Do you not believe that?
Mm-hmm.
So the reason why we got boos and bay and bays and boos and side pieces and all this stuff, we can't be faithful and talking about Mr. Crying never cheat. But see, cheating is far more than what you think. You can commit adultery, you can cheat and not physically do anything.
Mm-hmm.
God didn't say, put me before. God say, hate. You know what hate means? That means I destroy that which he's talking about. But see, now I got to talk to the mature Christians, destroying disobedience. See, the mature people understand this. The immature say, I don't agree with that. What you mean, hate? Your only definition of hate comes from flesh. But spiritual hate don't look like that. Spiritual hate says, I do not follow you. Uh-oh. Ah, y'all didn't hear me. Spiritual hate says, I don't follow you if you don't follow God. See, when you say that you have the meaning, but see, did you see the correlation? The only way you can tell somebody I won't follow them, Mr. DJ, if they don't follow God, you must first know God to know what not to follow.
That's right.
Amen. Amen.
See, I lost some people when I said you must hate yourself. The Bible says you must hate your father. See, I don't agree with that. You must hate your mother. See, you think he's talking about naturally hate them. He's saying spiritually, if they don't line up with me, why are you still following them?
Yes, sir.
The only reason why you still follow them and they're not following God is because you too don't know God.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, somebody. You can't get the watered-down version, because the watered-down version would say, I do put God first. And you know how they put God first? By going to church on Sunday, acknowledging God. But didn't we just read scripture last night that says faith without works is dead? You can't have a body without a spirit. It's dead. In other words, you can't have faith without actions. It's dead. We just said this.
Yes, sir.
So people start to say, I believe in God, and God comes first. But how many of y'all have said this? How many of us have said this? How many people you know have said, I believe in God and God come first, but you don't see God coming first on Saturday? You don't see him coming first on Monday? Or you sure don't see him come first on Friday? Or whenever they're doing something wrong, what happened to God coming first?
Amen.
See, that watered-down version will have us saying, no, I verbally say God come first. And I know God comes first, so that's not the hate that he's talking about, putting God first and everything else. Said no, you're putting God first and there is no second.
Mm-hmm.
Lord have mercy. Because see, when you have a second place in your life, you're susceptible, Mr. DJ, to turn into second place. I don't think y'all hear me. This is the same reason why people have bays on the side pieces. Don't you get mad at them, huh? Because what are we doing? We say God come first. But we just said it. Mom and dad and them, everybody else come second. Sisters and brothers, children come second. Come second. No, ain't no second when it comes to God. He the only one running that race. Ain't no second.
Amen.
Y'all hear me? Another way is God's way or no way. Get rid of the vocabulary. Destroy disobedience. Get rid of the vocabulary where it says less of me and more of him. That's a L-I-E. And that is not from God. Nowhere in heaven will you see less of you and more of me. Nowhere in heaven will you see less of human beings and more of, and more of God. You will see all of God and none of you. But you want to bet. This is that type of message people don't want to play with because we don't want to give up everything, do we?
Mm-hmm.
Again,
right.
Destroying disobedience. We don't want to give up everything, right, rich young ruler?
Mm-hmm.
See, the rich young ruler didn't want to give up the tangible items. We said, oh, I knew that there's Jesus, and he told me to give up all my possessions and give it to the poor. We'll do it. You wouldn't give up your own life, let alone your possessions. What are you talking about? Somebody.
Amen. And
it's important that we break these scriptures down very, very correctly. There again, if you think I'm misinterpreting it, did I say what I just said? Did it benefit heaven? Or did it benefit me?
And Mr. Carr, they also, for the Similac, the new Christians, if you will, for those of us that are on spiritual milk, yes, the Bible does say to honor thy mother and thy father. And that's different when, as he was stating before, when he was saying hate, he's talking about in the spiritual to where, I don't know about you all, but sometimes mama can be a little messy, daddy could be a little messy, or say something or do something wrong. And if they're wrong, especially spiritually wrong, oftentimes we try to give them a pass because we'll say, that's my mom, that's my dad. I can honor you, but I don't have to follow you or put you before my God. So for those of you on spiritual milk, that's where that hate comes in at, meaning that you put – You're putting them so hard, so high up to where God falls under them.
Yes.
And that's why that word, where that word hate is coming into. Yes, you do honor your mother and your father. But at to what point? What if your father is a bank robber? Or your mom is selling drugs? That's wrong.
Mr. DJ, I'm going to go a step further. Boy, this is good tonight, Mr. DJ, destroying disobedience. I'm going to go a step further because what you said is exactly right. I'm going to piggyback what you said, and we're going to double down, Mr. DJ. Tag me in. I'm in. Watch this.
Okay.
Watch this. Luke 2 and 48. I want people to write it down. Luke 2 and 48, because we know this scripture. We just don't recite it correctly. Luke 2 and 48, the Bible says, when his parents saw him, they were astonished. Talking about Jesus. His mother said, son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you.
That's right.
Then he said, why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house? See, y'all, Jesus is the word. Remember, the word became life. Y'all hear me? So when he says hate, you don't have to be a bank robber. The thing is, you got to hate that which is not in line with God. Mary and Joseph wasn't no bank robbers. They wasn't messing. They just got out of line. They said, where have you been? Y'all might say that's not out of line, but the Bible says be anxious for nothing. I don't think y'all hear me.
That's right.
Huh? Jesus never sinned up until the cross where he became sin for us.
That's right.
So that means how he responded was absolutely correct. Look at the hate. It wasn't from Mary nor Joseph. He simply said, why do you worry when I was about my father's business? In other words, I hear you saying where I've been and you've been searching for me. But Mary, that's not my father's will. It's not to please you, it's to please him. And see, you out of line, because if you was in line, why then are you anxious? Why do you worry? Somebody on this phone said, Mr. Carr, there's a natural response. And you're right. Jesus would naturally cast it down, too. Uh-oh. Remember, he's perfect. Look at how he responded to his mom and daddy. He didn't hate them by spewing off of the mom, but he hated the agenda was, because in other words, had they kept him from doing God's business, who was in trouble? Hear me, man. So when he says we must hate our mother and father and hate even our own life, now let's get it off mom and dad. Let's put on, you got to hate your own agenda. This is why God laughs at our plans, people. Tie all this together. Destroying disobedience. Our plans have some disobedient ways. Y'all know it, dude. Because we want to get married. We want the nice job. Sometimes we don't even want to get married. We just want to have a lot of people around us, have a girlfriend, boyfriend. Y'all know how we do it. But we definitely want the nice job. See, that's our agenda. But what about when you are so astute in God and you still don't have pay that reflects your faithfulness? You know how you and God, and it don't reflect your holiness? Have y'all ever noticed that? But see, we got to destroy disobedience because our mind says the further or the higher or the more educated I am, should not deserve pay that reflects that. But God said, hold on, if that be the case, Jesus would have been Pharaoh times 10. And he didn't have it. Who was wiser?
Mm-hmm.
You got to despair. You got to destroy disobedience. See, a lot of times it don't come from others. A lot of times it comes from us. A lot of times it comes from us people. We got to destroy disobedience, or disobedience will destroy us. And I see it all too often, Mr. DJ, all the time. And you see it even in natural relationships, because women talk about men and men talk about women. You would say, but they deserve it. But what do you deserve from God? You deserve to go to hell, but oh, that's how we get holy. Oh, but if it wasn't for the grace and mercy. So why can't you extend that same grace and mercy and destroy the disobedient thought patterns that you have, that you put out on other people? How can you talk about somebody that God loves and say you're his child? You can't talk about what God loves if he don't talk about him. Why are you talking about him? How can you be a child of the Most High and you're doing something totally opposite of your daddy?
Yes, sir.
I thought children act like their parents, I thought, Mr. DJ.
That's right.
Hello, people. SMB, Monday Night Raw. It's Raw. Mr. DJ, you ready?
Yes, sir.
Ms. Altita, you ready?
Yes, sir.
Let's get to it. First email question, Ms. Candy, what you got?
Alrighty. The question says, last night you all talked about what happens when we do not speak up for people who may have had a problem with us. Is it really disobedience if we actually don't have a problem with the person? Why or why not? Are you all there?
Yeah,
yes,
Ms. Ortega, I'm sorry. I had the phone on mute. I'm trying to let Ms. Ortega, you know, do her thing. Ms. Ortega, what you got?
Read that again for me, Ms. Candy.
Yes, ma'am. It says, last night you all talked about what happens when we do not speak up for people who we may have had a problem with. I'm sorry. I keep reading it wrong. That's the problem. Give me one more chance here.
Okay.
It's last night you all talked about what happens when we do not speak up for people who we may have had a problem with. Is it really disobedience if we actually don't have a problem with the person? Why or why not?
So you're speaking up for someone who we may have had a problem with. I mean, if you don't have a problem with the person, if God is still telling you to speak up to them, then, and you're not doing that, then it is disobedience. So we're to follow his command. I mean, if he tells us that we need to talk to that person, if he has given us a word to give to that person, and you're just deciding because I don't think I have a problem with them, then yes, it is disobedience.
Okay. What you got, Mr. DJ?
Well, that question is in twofold for me. It depends on God. Because you can't judge based on your own opinion. If God tells you to speak to that person, then yes, you should. There are some times that the answer may be remain silent. There are some things that it's going to come a time that God may not want you to say something to that person. Sometimes your actions speak louder than the words, and that person may come to you. So it depends on the situation or what God will have you do. If God is speaking to you, then definitely you go directly to that person and you need to say your piece. But mind you, you can't force nothing on nobody. I can talk to you. That don't mean you got to listen. What do you think that person, if you got a problem with that person, I don't know about you all, but try talking to somebody who you got a problem with and they got a problem with you. Most of the time, they're not going to want to listen. They're not going to stand there. You can't force them to stand there. So there's a way to talk to them. Like I said, sometimes your silence, your actions will be a little better.
Mm.
When someone is doing wrong, you know, it may be a situation where someone did wrong or asked you, hey, well, can I borrow this? And you say no. The next time you need something from that person, and instead of them saying no, they may say yes. You know, that's just a little kindness like that. The disobedience part comes when you don't listen to God. Instead of saying, well, they didn't let me borrow it, so no, I ain't going to let you borrow it. You know that's not right.
Mm-hmm.
That's not right at all. You're judging based on your perception of what you think and how you feel rather than what God would do.
Okay. All right. I'm getting good here. Getting good. I'm still back. You got some popcorn, Miss Candace? Okay. Let's get to the neighbor, Mr. DJ, Ms. Ortiz. Anybody have another question or comment or something they want to share with our the panel? Anybody?
Yes, sir. We do have a hand raised.
Okay. What we got?
Caller, go ahead with your question or comment for the evening.
Okay. Good evening. The question is, I've forgiven my best friend for betraying me. However, as I strive to walk in obedience to God, how am I to know if God wants me to continue on in the friendship or to separate from her and love from a distance?
Mr. DJ?
What you need to realize is this friendship in God? Why is this person your friend? Did you fall out because this person is separating and she's let go, she's taking her eyes and hands off of God? Then no, that's not your friend. You need to distance yourself from that. So what is one of those things where you would have to ask yourself, what would Jesus do? Was it something silly that you guys fell out about? Were you really wrong? Apologize. Go to that person. Or simply forgive them. If they were wrong, forgive them. Don't hold a grudge. Again, ask yourself, what would Jesus do? If it's what you would do, then that's the wrong thing.
All right. Ms. Artita, what you got?
I would have to say that, I mean, I agree totally with Mr. DJ. If it's a friendship that's not bringing you closer to God, then it's not a friendship that you actually, you know, need to actually hang on with. That does not mean that you push people completely away. I mean, you can, there's always a way to help people without actually being totally connected with them because, you know, we have to follow God in the end. So if it's not something, and that's with any type of relationship, if it does not bring you closer to God and it draws you away, then it's not a friendship that you, a relationship that you need to be in.
All righty, man. I agree with both of what y'all said. I, too, look at that from the opposite end of the spectrum because it's a lot of times that we look outwardly, but we never look inwardly. A lot of times, we shouldn't be a friend to somebody because of our jacked-up ways. In other words, the Bible says, woe to them that causes one of my little ones to stumble, to fail. In other words, those on spiritual milk. A lot of times, instead of saying they're not fit to be my friend, will you be man or woman enough or even Christian enough to say that you're not Christian enough to be theirs?
Amen.
Hmm. Amen.
Yeah, that's where it gets real right there.
Yes, sir.
Because y'all know we be looking for everybody. That's right. Let me tell you everything. DJ looking at me, I'm looking at DJ. Artita looking at him, DJ, and I'm looking at Artita. Everybody looking at everybody. But ain't nobody checking themselves out.
Right.
So my girl, I told you don't be friends with them. But did you tell your girlfriend about how she was? You know, when she had them castaways? Did you tell your homeboy about how he was? You know, when he did some old crooked stuff. As a matter of fact, did you tell them, hey, man, not right now. I'm not even in a position to give you godly advice. I can't even, you know what, I'm backing up not because of you, but because y'all know the only time we back up from people when we just didn't want to bar with them in the first place, so we'll say not right now. But what about when they have everything that you need and whatever they have, it benefits you and propels you in life, but spiritually you will tear them down. You back away from them then? If y'all didn't catch what I'm saying is a lot of times we put God on the back burner as long as we're benefiting in life.
Right.
Correct.
But what about when you're not spiritually led and the person who's blessing you, you can ultimately hurt? Do you tell them to back up because you're not there? You're filled with this pestilence, this disease called world. And it's contagious. But you don't say that when it comes to you, do you? Destroying disobedience, right? You don't say it when you come to you because you say God sent people to help you. So why can't he send you to help them? Uh-oh.
Right.
That's right.
Y'all, it is real. Those are two perfect answers. I appreciate that. Okay, what else we got? Let's get to the next caller if we have one, Miss Candy.
You do, sir. Good evening, caller. Go ahead with your question or comment for the evening.
Yes, my question is, oh, hold on for me.
He must have Sprint. Y'all have Sprint out there? Let's pray with Sprint callers right quick. Anybody want to pray?
Okay, can you hear me?
We can.
Okay, my question is it true that before you destroy disobedience, you must first destroy pride?
Can you repeat that question, please?
Yes. Is it true that before you destroy disobedience, you must first destroy pride?
Yes, Altita, I'm going to start with you. Is it true that before you destroy disobedience, you must first destroy pride? Is that true?
Well, it is true because disobedience, I mean, pride is a sin as well, you know, and disobedience we've already defined as a sin. So, and in order to follow God, you have to actually destroy the pride because that's a part of denying yourself.
Okay. Mr. DJ, what about you? What you got, Mr. DJ? Mr. DJ there?
He is.
What you got, Mr. DJ?
Sorry about that. I kept hitting this thing here. I don't know if I was pressing the wrong button. Anyway, that's absolutely correct. Pride is definitely something that needs to be checked. Pride tends to deal with greed and all other avenues of self-loathing and basically one's conceitedness and all this good stuff that needs to be destroyed. So I say absolutely correct. You must first destroy that. You have to deny yourself. You have to deny that pride that's coming from you, you know, in order to be obedient.
Mm-hmm. That's what it is, y'all. That's it. Proverbs 16 and 18. We say pride come before the fall, right? The Bible says pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So before you destroy disobedience, you must first destroy pride.
Right.
Y'all, there is no guarantee. There is no sin without first pride. Not a one sin on the face of this earth without pride. You might say, well, Mr. Carr, what about when you do stuff and you don't mean to? Still pride. Well, how is that pride? Because the Bible says to be vigilant. In other words, anything that you do, you should be looking spiritually. God don't miss a thing. So if you missed it, that means you chose to look at it your way and not his. I don't know what it is. Don't go. Don't do it. Hello? Y'all with me?
Yes,
sir.
It's very true. Before you destroy disobedience, you must first destroy pride. If you destroy pride, disobedience has no place.
Right.
Huh?
That's the root of disobedience.
Thank you.
Right.
Thank you. The root of disobedience is pride, people. Pride. Pride, pride, pride. All about me, me, my. That's it. All right. Let's get to it. What else we got? Any other callers out there?
Not at this time, sir.
So let me throw a question out there. I know Mr. DJ going to throw something his way. You know Mr. DJ have a little question. But I'm going to throw one out there, okay? Everybody ask a question off the top of their head. All right?
Okay.
So my is for the panel tonight, Mr. DJ, Ms. Artina. I say Artina, Ms. Artita. Artisha. That's a ghetto name, Artisha. Okay, so check it out. Here's the question. Okay. If, by chance, someone does not ask for forgiveness, okay, are you being disobedient by not forgiving them?
Yes, sir. Hello?
What you got, Mr. DJ?
Oh, I was just saying, yes, you're being disobedient because that's not of God. You're supposed to forgive them. You want to be forgiven.
Right.
Whether they
ask. Oh, these are absolutely correct. But can we kind of bear down and buckle down and can we bring some real life situation? Because it sounds good, y'all. That's a tough thing to do, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody just hurt you. You know, if you didn't just put 8 years in that relationship. Come on, women. Men, we didn't put 8 years in that relationship, and you never knew they was married.
Hmm. Yes,
even better than that, Mr. Carr, if someone shot your loved one, that's what a lot of people say. Well, I don't know. I can, or the famous thing that you hear, I can forgive, but I'm not going to forget.
So is that true forgiveness then?
It's not. Exactly.
Nope.
Now, if you say, I know we got this Rick Ross syndrome, God forgives, but I don't. Rick Ross, you ain't God, my boy. Huh? If throwing disobedience, y'all, if we forgive but don't forget, what is your definition of forgive? Because God's definition is totally different from yours.
Exactly.
See, figure this pride thing again, and where there's pride, you know disobedience is lurking around. Y'all know that, right?
Right.
Everything that happened in my life, everything that happened in Mr. DJ's life, everything that happened in Ms. Artita's life, everything that happens in all our lives, don't you know God either ordered it or he okayed it, he approved it? I know that?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Every hurt, every pain, every snare, every deceitful thing someone has done to you, every trick, every bribe, don't you know that God knew about it? And he still allowed it to happen to you? So if you want to be mad with anybody, be mad with God. But I don't think that you should be mad with God. Because I believe, Ms. Candette, check this out. I had an incident happen, Mr. DJ. This is just my testimony. Y'all share y'all. That's why I say this is open floor tonight. Someone told me, you know, hey, you need to go ahead and finish your house and this, that, and other. I'm like, wow. Because some people that are hurt, to me, it's like, ding, ding, ding. You're right. I need to do that. Thank you for that motivation. See, the more you talk about me, the more you empower me.
Right.
It's not that I want to prove you wrong. But see, I'm of this proponent. Destroying disobedience, I hate to lose more than I love to win. See, people who love to win, in other words, if you play basketball 30 games out the year, just because you love to win, as long as you win 27, 25, you're good. But see, when you hate to lose more than you love to win, that means I don't want to lose not a one.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
That's right.
Y'all follow me? That's just my personal.
Yes.
So for everything that happened in your life is what I'm saying. God knew about it. Won't you use that as a catapult to obey him even more, to say, God, I see you. I know you allowed it to happen to me. Last year when I wasn't saved, I would have got mad. This year I done forgave before they, even while they did it. If you can do it on the cross and it just happened, hold on. I don't know if y'all heard me. God said, Father, forgive them. He hadn't even closed his eyes and taken his last breath before he said, forgive them. Ain't that something?
Yeah.
Y'all know some of us, we hadn't forgiven people in over 10 years.
Mm.
Yet alone 10 minutes.
That's true.
And what will it say? But they didn't beg for, they didn't seem remorseful. Do they have to seem remorseful? Does it matter how they seem, whether they wanted your forgiveness or not? You should do it because of who you are. See, when you destroy, disobedience, what happens is it says, I love you and ain't nothing you can do about it. See, y'all was quoting a man from the radio who said it, but do you really mean that, that you love him and they can't do nothing about it? Really mean it? Because if you really mean it, again, are you still holding on to grudges? Because if you hold on to that grudge, I promise you, God got a couple he can hold on to. I think that's easy. It's easier to forgive people than God forgive us. So if he's giving us a light end to do, let me go ahead and handle that. In other words, I'd rather cut the front yard than the backyard. Typically, the backyard is larger. So let me cut the front. Does that make sense, people?
Yes, sir.
Forgive people even when they don't ask for forgiveness. And stop saying the forgiveness is for you, not for them. That's prideful. No, the forgiveness is for them as well.
Right.
Y'all listening? Somebody that told you wrong. Show me in the Bible where it says the forgiveness is for you and not them. You done quoted it. You done made that statement an idol. Now show it to me. When God forgave us, do you think it was for him or was it for us? I don't think y'all heard me. See how y'all be lying and be repeating stuff? Destroy disobedience. Come on. When God forgave us, hold on, back up. When God, the Holy Spirit, forgave us, was his forgiveness for him who is already perfect? You serious? If I seem to be talking loud, I do apologize. Put it on speaker and back up a little bit. Okay? Do you think that forgiveness was for him? You got to be kidding me. But somebody didn't put it up in your head to get closer to God, do a prideful thing. Still being disobedient. The forgiveness ain't for you. The forgiveness is for them and you.
Yes, sir.
We always want to do something and still put other people down because you say, forgiveness is for you, you know, not them. In other words, you're still putting them down. My God. My God. Come on, can somebody challenge that? Come on, people. I know everybody on this phone ain't all the way in there. We all ain't all the way saved. Tell me why you say that. See, everybody going to get quiet now because when you face the truth, you get mute. Come on. Star 5.
Yeah.
Come on, we be bold. And the other time, Star 5. And then, Miss Candy, what happens is when we have too many people that share the truth, I definitely don't want to say it, but I'll talk to you one-on-one, Mr. Carr. Talk now.
Right.
Well, all this is in the Bible. Y'all know that, right? Because what the enemy does, the Bible says, the enemy go recruit. He go get other demons. So now people get out the phone. Girl, you know what I heard tonight? Them people crazy. See, now you're going to recruit, and you ain't even know why. Tell them the number is 225-364-0211. You really think that forgiveness is strictly for you? Oh, my. My. If it was strictly for you, that means you really didn't give it. My. Because if I gave you water, how is that water for me when I gave you something? The water's for you. Oh, my. Destroy disobedience. In other words, I gave the illusion that I forgave them, but it was for me. Oh, my. The illusion, Mr. DJ, Ms. Artita, that means I was being deceptive when I said I forgave you. Oh, my.
Yes, sir.
Oh, my. Because when you give somebody something, that means it's no longer in your hands. Oh, my. Boy, you know it's hard because people have been raised this way all their life, and we don't want to part from our old cynical ways, especially when it's embedded in us, huh? Embedded in us, huh? It's stitched in us, huh? Well, it's hard to break old traditions, huh? But see, the tradition of man has nullified the power of God. In other words, we're used to sinning. We're used to being disobedient, and it nullifies God's power. So we would rather ride with a lie than ride with the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Because the lie makes us comfortable. The truth makes us uncomfortable. The truth would not only have us parting ways from people, but the truth would have us parting ways from our own self. Then we would really fall out of love with ourselves.
Yes, sir.
Come on. SMB Monday Night Raw, destroying disobedience. Anybody? Mr. DJ, I'm going to go to you. Well, you know what? Mr. DJ, I'm going to let Ms. Candy ask a question off the top of her head for everybody. And then I'm going to let Ms. Artita, and then I'm going to let Mr. DJ. Ms. Candy, what you got?
Well, I have a question that somebody actually, we were talking about it, and it has to do with this whole the thing about parenting from last night, because we talked a little bit about encouraging the children to deal with the father, but what if you have adult children and you're the reason why they don't deal with the father? Meaning, I'm the mom, and I have told them time and time again, he's no good, he's all of this. So how do I now get them to reconcile with the father when I'm the one who planted the bad seed?
Tiano, it's on y'all. What y'all got?
You must confess. You must take up your cross and bear it. You need to tell them you was wrong.
Right.
Forgive me. And that was wrong, and you have to be the example to reach out to him and start including him in things.
All right.
That would be my thought. You have to repent, you know, and the first step in that would be admitting that you were wrong to start with, you know, and let them know why you were wrong in it.
Okay. I don't have nothing else to say. Y'all rock that one.
Tito,
what you got?
Okay. My question is, if you see someone in error, or if you see a friend in error, and you go to them as God would have you to do, but you hold back because you don't want to seem harsh, or, you know, you don't want feelings to be hurt, is that disobedient?
Mr. DJ,
repeat that again.
If you see your friend in error and you go to them as God would have you to do, you go to them with the right spirit in love, but you hold back on what God wants you to give them because you don't want to hurt their feelings, or you don't want to seem harsh, is that considered disobedience?
Yes, it is. Absolutely. You're not following the plan according to God, and you're telling just a little bit of the truth. You're not going to tell all of it because you don't think they can handle it. Instead of saying what God told you to say, you're going to only give them the version that they kind of want to hear, or you think that they would want to hear. So, yes,
mm-hmm. That's disobedience. I'm going to add on to that, Mr. DJ, because what Mr. DJ said is absolutely correct. I don't need to add anything, but I'm not even going to do the cherry on top. I'm just going to throw the stem on that cherry because he did that already. Okay? Watch this. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." The reason why I'm saying that, Mr. DJ, adding that to that, is because it's mighty funny when it's somebody we don't really know or care for. Mm-hmm.
Right. Right.
I know no problems with hurting their feelings. But when it's somebody you like, you are pulled back. See, that's how you know that ain't of God. That's disobedience. Because you are subjective. Ms. Candy, break down subjective versus objective.
Subjective is all based on your feelings and what you view the situation is. Objective is without your opinions being on it.
Oh, my. So we become subjective as to who we correct. So if it's mama, daddy, sister, brother, somebody we know or somebody we love, we're very careful. We don't treat them the same. This is why Jesus, God had some words for those who are subjective, disobedient people. See, this is why he said, consider yourself. In other words, the same attitude that you have with the ones you love. Huh? Versus the ones that you don't. When you're going to people, you know how you baby daddy or the one who crossed the street who broke in your car. You know the one, the boss who got you fired when you really didn't do. You know the people that you really don't like? He says, consider yourself. Because, see, you don't have no problem telling them, thus said the Lord. But it's mighty funny how you have a problem with telling someone you love, thus said the Lord. Because you don't want to hurt their feelings, but you don't mind hurting somebody else's feelings that you don't know or don't like. That is subjective, mm-hmm. and that's not of God. Do you think that Jesus pulled back on anybody? As a matter of fact, Jesus, your mom or your brother or sisters out, he said, who is my family? Those who follow, he wasn't being disrespectful, but he ain't pulled back no matter who it was, because I do believe that he took the same approach with Peter on the boat. As a matter of fact, he knew Judas would deceive him. Do you think he treated Judas any kind of way? I don't think y'all hear me.
Because
if we hadn't read the whole story, we'd have said none of the disciples deceived him. He hand-selected Judas. When he hand-selected Judas, God knowing all, you don't think that he knew that?
That's right. He told him to do it.
My. As a matter of fact, hold on, Mr. DJ. Watch this, Mr. DJ. I'm going to let you jump in, too. I'm going to tag in. Hold on. We're the Road Warriors, y'all. Watch this. As a matter of fact, didn't the disciples say, who? When he said, one of you, hurry up and do what you must do, Jesus was saying, one of y'all. Jesus knew he was talking about. Peter wanted to know, which one? Because I chopped his other man off.
That's right.
That means Jesus never alluded to the fact that one of them from day one was going to betray him. Oh, my.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
So how is it that we walk in obedience and we let our children know that somebody who wasn't here for you, not right? Oh, my. But Mr. Carter, they walk with Jesus every day. How he didn't show it? Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Y'all don't hear me. He was so good at letting it not be about him, pride, that they didn't even know who Jesus really was. Oh, my.
Yes, sir.
They only knew him as a healer, a teacher. Ooh, they didn't know him as the Son of God.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
The man walked with them. In other words, he met them where they are. They were. Lord have mercy. Destroying disobedience, people. Respecting of a, you have a respect of a person. This is why we don't check mom and daddy when they do wrong. Because it's mom and daddy, and we get confused. And the Bible says honor. Honor don't mean not correct. Are you serious? Some of our definitions are wrong. So when we put emotions on anything that God says, you start to encrypt God's word. So you think that honor means that you can't tell them right from wrong. Oh, my goodness. Really? I hope this is helping some of us because we might not admit to it, but we have been thinking that all our life. You got Christian folk on this phone right now. If mama did it, they won't say nothing. They'll say, well, you know, as a matter of fact, I done been that, done that. I'm talking about people who are in the pulpit, people who are in deeply in God and know the word. And they'll be like, well, you know that's your mama, or you know that's your daddy. What does it matter? Wrong is wrong. Had I not told you who did it, you would have been going in. And then y'all got a problem with the way that the world does with police officers. Don't get mad, you do it with your parents. That's why they protect them, just like you protect your parents. Uh-oh. Oh, they didn't want to hear that one, Miss Candy.
You know,
police brutality? Well, you also have parent spiritual brutality, too. But you don't correct them when they do wrong. Talking about, you know, somebody, oh, hold on, this is a going rate. Mr. DJ, I'm about to tag you right now. This is a going thing. Huh? Watch this, y'all, destroying disobedience. This is a going thing. But they're good cops. And then what we say, well, if they're good, why somebody don't say something? The good one should step up. Well, if you be a child, a good child, if you be a child of God and you destroy disobedience, why don't you step up in the midst of chaos in your family? Why don't you tell somebody they're doing wrong? I'm waiting on that answer here. So don't you talk about no cop that's corrupt when who else corrupt? Uh-oh. Oh, it gets real now, huh? I ain't never look at it like that, Mr. Carr. Now you see it. Tag, Mr. DJ.
I just have two questions. The first one is, are you being disobedient? And this is to the panel or anybody that wants to chime in. Are you being disobedient when you pay all your tithes, all year long, Then come January, the church gives you a statement and you write it off on your taxes. That disobedience, according to God.
Can somebody else out there on the phone lines answer that? Because I don't want the panel to answer. I want them to say, try and say holy tonight. Can somebody answer that?
And that question, like I said, that's the first question. Second question is,
hold on, Mr. DJ, hold that second one. Okay. Yeah, let's get to that first one. So you've been paying your tithes. If you claim it, it's that disobedience.
Faithful.
Can I share how that situation was explained to me?
Yes, please.
Okay. And this is me sharing, everyone out there. So because I know that there are some people out there who are thinking, well, I've heard it that way as well. What was told to me was at this particular ministry, the first thing that they do that's different from what most people do is they tithe off of their gross amount. And so say if your gross is $3,000 a month, then they would tithe $300 a month as opposed to the net amount, which is what you get after taxes and all of that. So their policy was to pay tithes off of their gross. They do supply the statement for their members, but the expectation is then that they also pay tithes on whatever they receive back from the government. Now, person like me, I would have had a follow-up question of, well, what if I don't get anything back? What if I'm a person that pays in? And then when I asked one of the members that, they said, well, it all works itself out because you're already paying off of your gross and not your net.
Well, they say my country tears with thee.
But what's the flip side to that? You get money back. You get money back, and you get a lot back. More back, so much more back than what you even put in.
Mr. DJ, we in the same book, I'm trying to tell you. I just wanted to share that because I know it's somebody out there who was thinking, I've heard that before. And, we hear a lot of things, and then that's why we get together like this, so we can chop it up and, see what's really good.
Right.
So anybody else out there wanted to chime in on that one?
I do have a hand raised, sir.
What you got, Ms. Kim?
Caller, go ahead with your comment for this evening.
I've heard of it before. I have to go with you. I think, Candy, you might be talking about the same thing where we attended church together. But prior to that, I had never heard of doing that. I know you can claim your charities or whatever, but I had never really heard of your tithing. So me personally, I would say it's wrong. But, at times we do get under some ministries and then, we think because such and such is saying to do this that it's correct. But that was my first time in almost 25 years. That was my first time in about 25 years, and I had been everywhere, all overseas and everything, and I had never received anything from a church with what I had tithed. So I was a little confused myself.
Okay.
Which I did not use it. I did not go for mine. I didn't go to claim anything with it. I didn't even pick up what I had paid into tithing.
Okay. Anybody else want to chime in? Thank you for that answer. That's an excellent answer. I'm telling you, it is. Anybody else chime in, Ms. Candy?
No, sir.
Okay, the Bible says tithe and offering. There's a difference. The first 10, I'm telling you, I'll be checking myself, y'all. I'm serious. You got to check yourself. It ain't just the 10%. Now you have to give the offering.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Now, the Bible said it was according to each man according to what's in their heart. Man not meaning male. It's not gender specific, you know. So, let's not play the game with God. Here's the deal. Let's put ourselves in those shoes. Take God off the throne. We're not going to put ourselves on the throne, but let's just put ourselves in that head seat over there. Now, somebody then gave you, and then offer what they gave you, they're getting a little something back from what that means they didn't get fully give it to you. Let me say that again.
Amen.
Byron, I'm here. I got it. I got it, Miss Byron. Our tithe is just like our heart. Now, I'm not saying that you miss heaven or hell because of that. Don't be hell-bent on that. But look at the parallel that I'm putting here now. Okay? What we do is we give God, and then we pull some back from God. We give God, and then we pull back from God. Y'all see how that seesaw go?
Mm-hmm. All right.
When you give it, leave it alone. Now, who came up with this man-made stuff? Who came up with that? So you mean to tell me when Jesus gave his tithe, remember? Somebody said, well, when did he give the tithe? Remember he said, they said, Jesus, da-da-da-da-da. He said, go down to the bank over there, that water, catch a fish, the one that you grab, open his mouth. And what happened, y'all?
That money was there.
Oh, yeah. Did he get something from Caesar back for what he gave? Now, somebody will say, but that was back then. But don't you know that God say he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore? In other words, if it worked back then, it worked today. Nothing don't change.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Huh? We don't like people that give to us and then say, I want it back, do we?
No, sir.
Huh? Y'all know that causes confusion, right? And where there's confusion, he's not the author thereof. Now, to the natural man, systematically, that sounds good because it's the law. But that's the law that you are governed by. We destroy disobedience. In other words, we don't use that law. So although it may be naturally fulfilling, it could yield us more money, you think them little coins that you get back is worth you missing heaven? I'm just asking.
All right.
And if you think it is worth it, keep on getting it back. But it is impossible to give 10%, yet you claim some back. That means you didn't give the 10, because whatever you gave back is going to drop you less than 10. Ding, 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 ding. Y'all, let's do the simple math. Ms. Candy, Mr. DJ, y'all big ballers, $200,000 combined salary, y'all didn't give. I'm talking about net income, y'all, the difference between gross and net. Let me show y'all. I make it a simple rule. Net is simply this. That net that you cast out in that water, what you bring in your house. Gross is what they put on your, you know, how much you made until FICA hit it. Y'all know who FICA is? I still don't know. But anyways, the net is what you bring in your house, what you put in your bank.
That's right.
So you're casting that out, what you put in your bank. All right? So DJ made $100,000. Miss Canada made $100,000. Net, they bring it in. 10%? We didn't even do the offering. 10% of $100,000? That should be $10,000, right?
Correct.
Right.
Mr. DJ don't claim his at the church. He leave it alone. Miss Candy claim hers. So out of the $10 she gave, she getting, let's say, $835 back. Did she give 10%?
No.
All right, then. All right, y'all see that? Don't play them games, people. That sound good? That sounds good, but remember the Bible says you're going to love one and hate the other. You're going to serve one, but you can't serve both man and money. I mean, God and money. God don't compare himself, not even to the devil. He said you can't, look, you can't serve both him and money. Y'all follow me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, that's very important. You know how some people, when they pay you, come on, y'all. When they pay you to the T, and then some people say, hey, keep the change. Which one you like, the one who say keep the change or the one who pay you and be wanting every penny and every receipt back? I'm asking a question. We play that game with God. We want every receipt back from God, but does God ask from every receipt back for what he spent on you and he paid it all? Does he ask for the receipt back? Woo. Hello. Hello. We like people who give, especially we going out, huh, women? Women, you go out with Mr. DJ, but he be, if you don't give so much about the food, sometimes you order high food, I'm telling on everybody, Mr. DJ. Okay?
I hear you.
You order high food, huh? You really want to see how Mr. DJ going to tip, because that's going to say to you, you know, what type of man he is.
Now,
when Mr. DJ right there, y'all hear me, everybody hear me good?
Yes, sir.
Okay. On that tip, when they bring that receipt to that table, when he write tip and tie ain't together no more, don't you get mad. Mm-hmm. The tip he just gave away.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, he ain't give nothing. But we actually look at what people give outside of their normal standard. Yes, the tab was $75, but if Mr. DJ gave $25 more, you're going to say, that's a generous man. Oh, my, I love him. So if that be the case, what about us with God? Why don't we give generously and leave it there? Hello. All right.
Yes, sir.
What was your second question, Mr. DJ, real quickly?
I was just saying, is it disobedience when you, a child that's not your own, asks you, is Santa Claus real? Especially around your own child. And you tell them, yes, he is, or defend it.
Mm.
Or better yet, let's say they don't ask you that. They don't ask you that. Let's just say you hear another adult telling a child that.
I would say that is, it's wrong. And I've actually encountered that in, with my own child and another, and had to actually explain why Santa Claus is not real. You know, I'd actually grown up to teach him that Santa Claus, there was a Santa Claus, and actually through this ministry realized that that was actually wrong to be teaching him that. So I had to actually go back and correct that with him. And he understands now, and it makes actually everything else after the Easter Bunny, all of that stuff. I've let him know that those things are not real, and the relief that you actually get from actually telling the children the truth in itself, you know. You know, so that they won't be following. We tend to lead them astray in the things, in letting them actually go on believing that.
Amen. There's something you just said, too, that I realized. There are some adults that are actually mad at you. I mean, well,
right.
We're all completely out with you for telling the truth. It's like, how can you get mad at the truth?
Right.
Hmm.
That, look, people get mad at the truth every day. They call criminals. They call people that's going wrong because you know you never want the truth to hit that witness stand. In other words, they don't like witnesses. They don't like you witnessing the truth because, see, that truth can harm them. So we have natural criminals, but we also have spiritual criminals, destroying disobedience people.
Amen.
All right.
And actually, yeah, people do get mad at you, Mr. DJ. I had my own mama that was mad at me for telling him that. But, you know, I have to follow God, so.
Hey, exactly.
Don't be putting mama out there. Mama ain't coming after me. Mama, I didn't
know. I mean, the truth is the truth.
Tell Gloria Dean, that wasn't me. All right. All right, y'all, let's go ahead and pray. So I hope everything was answered. Did somebody have anything they wanted to share right quick? Anybody, Miss Candy? Star 5, nobody? We good?
No, sir. I don't have anyone.
All right, Mr. DJ, you want to go ahead and pray for us, please?
Yes, bow your head. Dear Father, we come to the close of another call. We want to say thank you, Father. Thank you for the knowledge, the spiritual food that you have presented to us. Let it manifest in us, Father. Let it grow us spiritually. Please let it set to where somebody else can see that beacon of light that's within us, not for our glory, Father, but to let them know it's all you. We want to ask a special blessing for those that are traveling right now, and it's back to school time. Bless our families and those kids that are out there, and help us to stay on the path and keep them on the path, Father. We ask these things in your Son Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
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 And y'all, love your parents, love yourself, love your children, love your brother and your sister, but hate anything that obstructs God.
Amen.
I mean, if it comes from anything, in other words, learn how to separate the egg whites from the egg yolks. Okay? Destroying disobedience. Y'all have a great night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.